Some of you may have received an email this morning that told you about a praise report for Madera Church. We've been on the hunt and been praying for a tow vehicle for our trailer, and there it is. So let's thank the Lord for that. So we had a budget, and we had a lot of things in mind. We wanted it to have big trailer mirrors, which it has. We wanted it to be under our budget price. We wanted it to be under 150,000 miles. This is new to us, but it's a 2003. It's going to serve the purpose very well to pull our trailer. But if you notice the next slide, you get a little bit bigger idea of the size of our trailer. The other picture really didn't show it as well. And here's the thing about this trailer, or this truck. It's going to be great. It's gas like we wanted. Someone on our team said we don't want a diesel because we're going to be running it so short of time in the day, different things. But the one thing that this has missing is trailer brakes. And with that size trailer, we're going to have to put trailer brakes on it very soon, especially when we start hauling it with actual stuff inside of it. Right now, it's just our mobile sign for our church. But I'm super excited that God has blessed us with another answer to prayer. And actually, the no trailer brakes reminded me of a story that I wanted to share to start today's time together in the Word. My family and I had an awesome adventure a few years ago. We went on a camping trip. And I didn't own a truck or a trailer at the time, but I had a very good friend, my best friend in Illinois, said, how about you take my truck and my trailer, and you guys can do your trip to Yellowstone and the Grand Tetons and Mount Rushmore and all these different places. As you can see, this trailer was huge. And I have driven a trailer often in some jobs that I have done growing up, and I drove a dump truck for a while and pulled little trailers. But never had I pulled a 31-foot travel trailer across country. It was perfect for our family. It had four bunks in the back, a big queen bed up front, and then one of those expanders, I'm not even sure what it's called, that a slider, I think. It slides out, and you have a living room and a kitchen. And so it was fantastic for us to travel across country. His truck is a diesel, which is designed to pull these big, heavy things, and it had trailer brakes, and I'm thankful that it did. We were pulling into the little single-lane highway that takes you into the south entrance to Yellowstone. So you have to go through the Grand Tetons first. And I can remember very vividly what happened. We are driving, and I have it on cruise control because I guess I'm lazy and like to keep it at the precise miles per hour on the road. But we're going a little bit downhill, a little bit of an incline, or decline, excuse me, and I noticed in the distance, maybe several hundred yards ahead, a car with its flashers on. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm going to have to pull over and get out of the way. But then there started to come other cars in the other lane towards me. And so I took it off of cruise control. I canceled cruise control. I said, I better take this on myself. And the person, I'm thinking to myself, and I believe I even said it out loud to Megan, I sure hope this person doesn't pull in front of us. Because we are pulling this huge trailer, and it is really hard to stop. You need a big distance, more than normal, when you have a big trailer like that. And so I intentionally slow down a little bit as I'm approaching, and sure enough, I think this person thought to themselves, I don't want to get stuck behind this big trailer. I got to get in front of this guy. He whips out in front of us, probably only about 100 yards in front of us, which is not enough time for me to stop. And so I slam on the brakes, and I lower the gear, and the truck begins to slow down, and we got, I would say, within feet, maybe inches of this guy's bumper. My heart was racing. I was very nervous about the whole situation. You can ask Megan. My response was not kind and Christ-like to that individual at that moment. In fact, I'm pretty sure they heard what my friend's horn sounded like through their back window there. But we did not crash. This next picture is after we got past that situation. I, down the road, pulled over just to get a picture and just to get a breath of fresh air from after what happened. And God, I think, protected us. And here's what was happening on that trip, and I'm so thankful for. When I go on a big trip, I've got a whole team of prayer warriors that are praying for me, that, you know, pray for Pastor Bill's protection as he goes across country. And I know there were dozens of people that were praying for us as we went on this little family adventure. And I'm a firm believer that God answers those prayers. And I think that in that moment, he spared us from what could have been a pretty horrific accident. And I think that maybe even God helped to slow that truck down. Maybe it wasn't just simply the trailer brakes, even though we're going to get them on our vehicle. I think that God spared us in that situation. On that trip, I also got some really heavy, hard news that a friend of mine passed away. It was a pastor friend that I pastored for several years with, and he died unexpectedly. And it was right before we got to this place that I heard that news. And I think that God was also using that time to heal my heart a little bit as I mourned the loss of my friend. There's no better place than to just meditate on things of life than in the Grand Tetons. And so God just really encouraged me in that. And I think that that was also, people knew that that happened, and they were praying for me, and they were praying that I would be refreshed. And God really answered those prayers. As we go into this next chapter in your home groups this week, you guys are going to be challenged to pray for your leaders. And it's a little self-serving for me to be giving this message today, but I have first-hand experience of the blessing that comes from a group of people who lift us in prayer. And it's not just for me. Today, what I'd like to do is kind of turn things a little bit. We'll talk about the importance of prayer as part of today's message, but you're going to dig in deep in your home groups and really spend time looking at that. As I prayed in preparation for today's time together, the Lord reminded me of a pastor friend of mine who spoke at our church, our last church, during Pastor Appreciation Month. And I don't know if you guys are aware of this. Some of you are. And I want to thank you for the generosity of this church and E-Free Church in the way that they love their pastors. There were gifts that were given that we were blessed by, and it was incredibly generous in support of our families. And so we're thankful for that incredible blessing. But part of what my last church did is they would bring in a guest speaker as part of Pastor Appreciation Month. We get a whole month instead of just a national day. Isn't that kind of cool? So my friend Bill Allison has a ministry called Cadre Ministries, and he actually has written several books. And what he does during the month of October is he shares a particular message that aligns with one of the books that he's written called Seven Ways to Encourage and Support Your Pastors. And so I had notes on that sermon that he gave me, and I thought about it when I was reading this chapter in I Am a Church Member and realized that this is perfect for what we're discussing and how you can support your leaders. And so I've changed his seven ways to support and encourage your pastor, and I've made it five ways to support and encourage our leaders, the leaders of Madera Church. And so that's what we're going to tackle today. And it's a little bit different than I typically preach, more topical. We'll be jumping around a little bit in the Bible more so than I typically do. But I think that this is really a support of the challenge that Tom Rainer is giving our small groups this week in ways that we can together truly support and encourage our leaders. And we have some incredible leaders in Madera Church. Myself not necessarily included in that, but I appreciate the prayers for me as well. So let's commit this message to the Lord and ask that he teach us through his word today. Father God, we've already been just incredibly blessed by time joining our hearts together through song. I thank you for people who write songs like Waymaker and Your Love Never Fails. Just great reminders of the type of God that we worship and want to bring glory through our lives. Father, as we send the kids to the back and as they even study now, we ask that you would create excitement within them. Allow them to build a community with the other children in our kids' ministry here, Lord, at Madera Church. That this would be an opportunity for kids to grow in their walk with you, to find out how much you love them, and to just have other friends that they're going through life with in their Christian journey. And so we commit our teachers and them into your hands. And right now, Lord, we are turning our attention to your word. And so I never want to come to it without asking for you to speak through it to us. And so we're grateful, Lord, that we have an opportunity as a church family to look at some passages of Scripture that speak to how we can encourage and support our leaders. And so we ask that you would help us to rise up as a church and that you would help me as well, Lord, to apply these principles with the leaders that you've placed within my sphere of influence, the people who will keep me accountable and encourage me as well. And so, Father, we just thank you for this time and we commit it to you. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. All right. So we are going to do this. I love that Pastor Steve is here today. And and Barbara, it's a blessing to have you guys visiting with us today. Pastor Steve is one of the best five-point give-it-to-you-through-an-outline pastors that I've ever sat under. And I love his teaching. And he has snuck in on a day that I'm going to do a five-point sermon. So thanks a lot, Pastor Steve, for that. I appreciate it. But we are going to pick up right where Tom Rainer challenges us. That's the first thing, and it's the thing that I've already alluded to with that answered prayer and that pickup truck on vacation. I want to challenge us all, number one, to pray specifically and consistently for our Madera church leaders. Lift us before the Lord in prayer. I could tell you, firsthand experience, Pastor Link and other leader team members, those who are overseeing kids' ministry, Sally with First Impressions, Victor Menares with worship, Victor Corrales with our tech and everything that's happening on Sunday morning, I can tell you that we are in the sights of the enemy as we lead God's church. God is on our side, and he's bigger than the enemy, but I think he responds to the prayers of his people to help to give us that hedge of protection when we're flying down the road or whatever it might be. He is using your prayers to support and encourage us, and we're in it together. We cannot do it without the support of your prayers. In 1 Timothy, we see this very specifically. He tells us to pray. He urges us to pray. And in this passage, I'm not going to have time to give you a full background on the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, but it's Paul writing to a pastor, kind of his protege, who's taking over a specific church family for Paul. And he's encouraging him to lead this church well. And then he's giving instructions on worship. And I love the first thing that he talks about when he dives in to instructions on worship is, I urge you to pray. Pray for kings and those in authority, those who rule and submit to that, but also pray and lift them before you. So let's look at how Paul captures this, how God speaks through Paul to Timothy here. Chapter 2, verse 1 says this, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. So don't limit this time of prayer for just your leaders. Pray for your leaders specifically, but have intercessor prayer on behalf of other people. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, and talk about how we should support and pray for those in the government and to commit them to prayer as well. And that will help us to live this peaceful life that God is speaking about here through Paul to Timothy. Notice what the prayers do. They impact not only the person who's leading, but it impacts you so that we, as Christ followers, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Your prayers for your leaders impact you as well. Please remember that as you bring the leaders of this church before the throne. They are called, as we'll see at the end of today's message, they are called to shepherd you in a way that helps you to grow as well. But they are dependent on your prayer. So it's interlinked together. We're in this together as a church and are dependent on your prayers for the leaders to be successful and thrive, but also for you to grow in your walk and your faith as well. Verse 3 goes on to say, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. I don't want to skip what comes next. I feel like sometimes as we're going through this little series on I'm a Church Member, maybe we don't give enough attention to the gospel, which is the heart of our church and is why we're having our Christmas Eve service focused on outreach and sharing the gospel. But look at what Paul puts, that we are saved by the Lord. So your screens are blue, so let me read it for you. It's also blue highlighted in my Bible here. Verse 5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone." I love what Paul is doing here. He's challenging this church to worship, starting by telling them to pray for their leaders, and then he reminds them what it's all about. The reality that we are submitting to the true King, Jesus, our Savior, who has bought and purchased our freedom. Let me read that verse for you again. This is verse 5. There is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. Listen to the rest of the verse. This is a message that God gave to the world at just the right time. God is not slow to answer his promise, as we see in other places in Scripture, but he is being patient so that more can come into a relationship with him. Church, I want to challenge you again with what I brought to us last Sunday. Who is it that God has you praying for right now? A lost friend that needs to know this truth. This truth that there is a God who loves them and has purchased their freedom as well. That freedom is something that enables us to have the freedom to go and to pray and to submit these leaders into God's hands, but it also gives us the responsibility to share Christ with others as well. Now, Tom Rainer, when you guys get into your home group study, does a really good job digging in with very specifics of this particular passage. He's going to flesh it out in even different places in Scripture. And so here's what you're going to get as you go through your home groups this week. You're going to spend more time than we did today looking at the importance of praying for your leaders. Tom brings these things to the surface. Pray for your leader and their families. I love how Pastor Steve, when he gave us a challenge as we started meeting live, to pray for me and my family, because there's something unique about a leader's family that is impacted by their role within the church. And so we covet your prayers. Lift my kids before the Lord, my relationship with my wife. And Megan is an incredible support to me, but she could use your prayers as well. She has to put up with Bill all the time. That's funny. That's a joke. Pray for her. Pray for us. And the next thing that he draws out is we should pray for their protection. We just saw that with the truck illustration. I really believe that God answers those prayers. And we are put in harm's way often by the enemy, and God can work outside of that and really protect us in those moments through your prayers. Pray for Pastor Link. Pray for Don Spencer as he oversees security. Pray for all of the small group or our home group leaders who are going to be representing this church by leading others. Pray that God would use them as well. And then lastly, Tom is going to help you guys wrestle with praying for the physical and mental health of your leaders. I'll share here in a moment, you know, being a pastor can be pretty stressful, and especially during this awesome pandemic that we find ourselves in. It is just outside of anything that we ever received in seminary training, and we have to lean on the support of other leaders as we talk and try to figure out how to best navigate these uncharted waters. And I'm grateful for the men and women that God has placed in this church that we get to lead together to point people to Jesus. So the first thing, I'm not going to spend a lot more time on it today because you're going to wrestle with it yourselves in your home groups, but pray specifically and consistently for our leaders at Madera Church. Amen on that one? Amen. All right, the next thing I'd like to look at is that, but wait, is to give cheerfully of our treasure, our time, our talent, and our spiritual gifts. You probably already know this, but I am incredibly grateful that I don't have to work a second job as I pastor Madera Church. I don't know that I would survive if I had to. I am grateful for all the churches that God has placed me in are incredibly generous in the way that they support our family financially. And you should know that Madera Church falls into that category as well. So thank you for the way that you give. That does pay my full salary. I don't have to be a bivocational pastor and do little jobs on the side to be able to survive and thrive. But just so you have an idea, some people don't know that a pastor doesn't just work on Sundays. We actually work pretty much all week long. And so I'm going to give you a little picture of Pastor Bill's week a couple weeks ago. And I'm doing this so that we can kind of, it's kind of funny, but I'm going to kind of turn the ship a little bit and look at how much we need you to be using and cheerfully giving your time and your gifts and your talents as well. Yes, we're in this together, giving financially, and my family contributes to that as well. We're in that together as a church. But listen to what happened this last week or 2 weeks ago, and I'm praying that it's not a week that continues to repeat itself because people are rising up to fulfill a lot of these different areas of ministry. So 2 weeks ago today, we had a disaster of a pre-service situation. Does anybody remember that? We were running around like chickens with our head cut off. I haven't seen that ever in person, but that's an expression that is really fun. And that's what it looked like in here. And we were just trying to figure everything out. Here's what happened. The person who oversees projection was sick and wisely did not come. The person who oversees live stream was sick and wisely did not come. The person who oversees sound was sick and wisely did not come. The person who oversees check-in was sick and wisely did not come. And on that day, live stream wouldn't work right. There were things that weren't plugged in correctly. The sound was giving us this incredible feedback and echo. And Pastor Bill doesn't know how to fix all these things, you know. But we're trying, and we're trying to train people. And the Lord provided people, stepped up in all of those roles. And just in time, we got my silly cell phone up for a really interesting live stream. And then the service went on. And, you know, the Lord used it. And praying that people will be blessed by the worship and the message that happened on that day. But I could tell you that Pastor Bill was super stressed from the beginning and the end of that. And then after that service, some things took place. And then the next morning, praise the Lord, our new live stream equipment showed up, which we've been praying for, and it was back ordered for months. So after the disastrous live stream situation, we got new live stream equipment. But then we had to figure out how to set it up. And I didn't have time in my week that week to figure that out. Thankfully, Victor Corrales put a lot of time into trying to get that going, and guess what? It wouldn't work. It wouldn't talk to the equipment that costs a lot of money. It wouldn't talk to our computers that also cost a lot of money. And we had to figure out how to get this all working, and it didn't work on Tuesday when we started to put it together. It didn't work on Wednesday. Finally, it kind of came together. But on Monday, I also had a leader team meeting. And so that goes typically from about 5:30 to 8:30. We talk about things that matter to this church, things of the future. And so Pastor Bill had a kind of a stressful day that went until about 9 o'clock at night. And then the next day we had trying to get everything figured out, and then we had a leader meeting for a ministry team that evening. And then on Wednesday, I think was the only day that week that I had a meal with my family. And then Thursday, we ran around. The TVs wouldn't work. On Tuesday, Victor, where are you at? Victor Manares helped me to set up the TV that was supposed to go on this stand. And when we opened the box that has been sitting for months because we didn't need it yet, off to the side, when we opened it, we discovered that a forklift had busted through the screen and it wasn't going to work. And so we started scrambling, looking for other TVs. We put up that little one in the back there at first, and it looked kind of funny having that TV next to this TV. And so E-Free is so generous. They have a big screen in the back that they weren't currently using, so that's why we have this. The new one has not. Actually, you could pray about it if you'd like. The Amazon doesn't want to take responsibility for it because it was so long ago that it was what had happened. We have a warranty, but the warranty wants to blame the shipper. The shipper doesn't. So one of those things. So we're trying to track that down and get that working eventually. The next day, I think it was Friday, the TVs weren't talking. So we got the TVs up, but they wouldn't listen to the computers. And so we had to spend the whole day. Victor, how many different formats do you think that we tried? Dozens. It was like it would not work. One would work, and then the other wouldn't, and it was just back and forth. I picked up Autumn at school, and then she came to help me try to figure it out. We worked on it a little while. We went home for dinner, and then Megan and I came back, and we were here till about 9:30, and it finally started working. And so by Friday night, we got it working. But guess what? Every week, Pastor Bill has a message, typically, to share with you guys. He didn't have much time to prep for that because of all the crazy things that happened during the week. So Saturday, I had to skip Abe's soccer game. And where's Abe at? He's back there. It wasn't a great game anyway, so it was okay that I missed it. His last one was great. They just finished really well this last week. But I had to skip his soccer game so I could work on my sermon. And so I worked on the sermon about around 3 o'clock. I think I sent Victor some of my changes because once you start really working on it, your original plan usually shifts a little bit. So I sent her that. And then Sunday came, and you know, Thursday, we also recorded the drone footage to show the excitement to E-Free Green Valley about the land. And so Phil and I went out there, we got that footage, and then he had to go back because the lighting wasn't right. And so on Friday, he dropped that disc off to me, and I edited that video and made the slideshow for our presentation to E-Free Green Valley. And so that all to say that I totaled it up. I don't normally do this. From Sunday to Sunday, it was 75 hours. And it totally got eaten up. And here's something I never want to skip on, is the messages that God brings to you guys through me. It's a super huge responsibility, one that I take pride and enjoy in fulfilling and doing. But I am excited for the day where I don't have to do all the ancillary things, and I can spend more time in sermon prep. I really love it and enjoy it, and I want to bring you better messages. You haven't gotten Pastor Bill's best yet, and I'm sorry for that. But the cool thing is the Holy Spirit works even when I'm not on my A game. So that's one of the fail-safes that I have, even as a pastor, is whenever we get into God's truth, he's going to use it. But pray for me, because stressful days come, but also I want to challenge you to give cheerfully of your time and talent and your spiritual gifts as well. As we talked about with the engage passage or sermon, you guys are part of this. And eventually everybody's going to find their place. It hasn't happened yet, and I'm okay for the beginning of our church fulfilling a little bit extra. But pray for me, because extra also impacts my family, and I don't want to skimp on them either. So first, pray specifically and consistently for our leaders. And next, give cheerfully of your time, your treasure, your talent, and your spiritual gifts so that our leaders can direct the affairs of the church. And I love the way that my friend captures this. He went on a little further and he says, rather than doing it all alone. That's not the way that God intended. We're called to equip the saints, to equip you to join this incredible privilege of being a church together. He says, provide the needs for their family. So let's look at this verse. I never even read the verse yet. So this is 1 Timothy chapter 5, a little bit further in this same book. He's referring to elders, which we could translate as overseers or sometimes even pastor. And so these are leaders within this church. Chapter 5, verse 17. Elders who do their work well should be respected and paid well. It's interesting that that's thrown into the Bible. It's encouraging to me that I don't have to prove my case that God did it for me. But you guys do that, as I already said. It says, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. There's this element that this is to be something that is honored. And so that the pastor teacher doesn't have to spread themselves so thin doing all these other things, but can focus on preparing and bringing you God's truth. It's the illustration that he gives next in verse 18. For the scripture says, you must not muzzle an ox. Thanks for referring to me as an ox scripture, but that's okay. You must not muzzle an ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain. And in another place, so this is Jesus actually says this, those who work deserve their pay. And so thank you. Your gifts and my gifts, ironically, in some way, go to funding the leaders in this church. And it is a blessing to be able to be a part of that. But it doesn't stop there. I think that we also need to realize that we need to give our time and treasure and talent so that the pastor can also focus on that teaching. We enjoy doing other things. You know, Pastor Steve and Barbara are like pros at the online video stuff now. He doesn't like to talk about it, but he pretty much one and done. Pastor Bill does it, and we have to have a few takes because I get it mixed up a little bit. But he's really good at one and done. But guess what? All these extra things, although we enjoy it, it's fun to do something different. Our primary task as the lead pastors of our churches is to spend time preparing to teach and to preach God's word. And so when we all work together, I can spend more time focusing on that, and I think we'll all benefit from that as well. Then he goes on to switch gears a little bit. This comes next. So he challenges us to pay those pastors well so they can do their job well, and that's Pastor Bill's paraphrase there. But then he goes on and says this, verse 19. So that was point two. Now we're moving to point three. Do not listen to an accusation against an elder unless it is confirmed by two or three witnesses. Pay your pastor well. Do not gossip about them. He ties these right together. The challenge or point number three that I want to give to us is to refuse to listen to or spread gossip about your leaders. This is a tempting thing. You know, it's fun to get this little bit of information that, you know, it sounds good to your ear. That's the sinful nature working in us when that happens. But I love how Paul, when he's instructing Timothy here, he talks about the importance of the pastor, but then he says, don't listen to an accusation against an elder unless it is confirmed by two or three witnesses. If we want to look at Proverbs chapter 17, verse 4, it says it this way when it comes to gossip. Wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. Liars pay close attention to slander. You don't want to be categorized in that way. That's not who we are as Christ Church. And actually, when we dive into Nehemiah together, we're going to explore gossip and slander a little more specifically. And it is something that every church, I think, would benefit from wrestling with. But we've already seen it early on when we talked about unity. But this is a reminder, as we support and encourage our leaders, one of the ways to do that is to stop gossip. Most of us know that we shouldn't spread gossip and speak it, but do you have a plan in place when it comes to you? Don't listen to it. Stop it in its tracks. Let people know that I'm not going to be a part of that. And that will be an encouragement and a support to our leaders when you live in that way. And then he gives us another point. And so it's like he's putting this all together. Point one, pray specifically for your leaders. Point two, give cheerfully of your treasure, time, talent, and spiritual gifts. Point three, refuse to gossip, to listen to it, or to a particular situation they have in mind here. But in verse 20, it says, those who sin should be reprimanded in front of the whole church. This will serve as a strong warning to others. So pay your pastors well. Support them in that way so they can focus on the ministry of teaching and preaching. Do not gossip about them. Do not listen to false accusations. But when they're sin, take care of it. And so he jumps to point number three. We're going to look at what Jesus says here in a moment. But Paul's challenge to Timothy is those who sin should be reprimanded in front of the whole church. This will serve as a strong warning to others. It is something that no church wants to do, but at certain times it's important to take that step. But let's see what Jesus says is the first course of action. This is my challenge. This is the starting point for us. We don't have to jump to get them up on stage and let's air it out and make it right. We actually have a specific plan in place that Jesus has given us as church members to live out when it comes to sin in other people. So if you're not there already, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 18. It's a popular passage that reminds us of how to correct one another and to correct other believers. So in verse 15, it says this, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. So Jesus doesn't start with get them on stage in church and let them have it. He says, go privately to this person and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. That's the goal, is for them to, if it's truly sin, to admit to it, to confess it, to repent, and to that means to turn and to not to return to it. And so that's Jesus' challenge to us. And that's the way that I've captured it for us as a church. Lovingly and privately correct leaders when there is sin in their life. That's the first step. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He eventually gets to what Paul says. Next, he says in verse 16, but if you are unsuccessful, so if that person doesn't, they did nothing wrong, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. I've had to do this, and it's not fun or easy to do, but I'll tell you what, Jesus has a reason for telling you to take this strategy. When you have other people that confirm the conversation, it's not just he said versus she said type of a situation. It is other leaders within the church that can establish what took place in that conversation. So that's the next step. After you go to the person privately, they don't listen, take a couple others with you. You know, the elders of our church, when we have them, are there for that very purpose. We are ready to go and to have those hard conversations to support you and to love the Christ follower. Confronting someone on sin is love. It's not a bad thing. It's a way for us to love them. And so that's what Jesus is telling us here. And then he goes on in verse 17, if the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church, just like Paul tells us. Then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. Another version, treat them as an unbeliever. And let me remind you, what that means is we love them and we share the gospel with them. We pray that the Holy Spirit would work in their life. We don't necessarily, I think that sometimes we confuse what it means to treat an unbeliever. We don't want to live according to their ways, but we do want to impact them with the truth of the gospel. Don't stop praying for that person. Don't stop spending time encouraging that person to see the light of God's truth. And I love the way my friend Bill takes this to the next level, this particular one. So point four, again, lovingly and privately correct leaders when there is sin. That's what we're calling us all to do. When you see sin, confront that person. Go straight to them. When you go to somebody else and start talking about it and you haven't confronted them yet, guess what? That's gossip. That's what we said not to do in the previous one. But go to that person, give them an opportunity to repent and make it right, and then take those steps that Jesus gives us. But then my friend Bill Allison brings this up. He says, and offer grace on issues of style and preference. Sometimes the thing that is upsetting someone in a church has nothing to do with sin, but it's the color of the carpet. It's the color of the lights behind me. It's the how loud the drums are. It's those preference things. And the challenge is to show grace in those areas. If it is not sin, then it is an area for us all to grow in together. Now, that doesn't mean you can't talk to a leader about it. That's actually still the appropriate step to take. Talk to the individual that's responsible for it. Talk to me. Let's see what we can do. But show grace in the area of preference and style. And always privately and lovingly confront sin with that person first. And then the last thing that we'll look at today in a way to support our leaders is probably the simplest and maybe the hardest for some of us. And that's simply to follow their lead. Follow your leader's lead as they provide direction and oversight for our church. We are here because God has called us to shepherd and to love and to lead you. And so we're going to look at a passage in Hebrews now that talks about how we can do that in a way that brings God honor and really is a benefit to you and the leader. And so let's look at Hebrews chapter 13. We don't know for sure who wrote Hebrews. I think it's a guy by the name of Apollos, but it's of little consequence. We'll probably at some point study all the way through the book of Hebrews. It's an incredible challenge for not just Jewish people, but for us today as well. But he closes out this incredible book with this reminder. In verse 17 of the last chapter, chapter 13, we find this. We could just say that God is telling us this since we're not really sure who wrote it. It says, obey your spiritual leaders. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Everyone, I want you to commit that to memory. I'm obviously kidding, but it is a really simple yet profound verse. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. We just had what we call a COVID council this last week for E-Free Green Valley, and we are having to make decisions on the spot as things change and figure out what's the best way forward. And I can tell you that the leaders of E-Free Green Valley, and I get to be enfolded into that, we care about the people that attend this church. And so we don't take lightly the decisions that we're making. We're accountable to God for these decisions. And so we pray about them. We wrestle with them together. Sometimes these meetings take hours, and it's worth it because we are striving to lead God's people in a way that nurtures their soul and really helps us to be the church together. This verse says, their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Listen to the rest of this passage. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be to your benefit. Now, there's been some hard decisions that have had to be made by every church in our country and really across the world right now because of this virus. And there are probably people in every one of those churches that have differing views on this particular thing. And I love the way that our leaders have tried to come up with an objective way to go about kind of navigating this. And who knows, the numbers still seem to be on the rise across our country. We may eventually have to go to online only again. We don't know that yet, but pray for us, like we said at the beginning, and know that we are putting this before the Lord's feet as we make these decisions. And you supporting them is just a blessing to us, and I think will be a blessing to you as well. It's just a real timely example of some of the hard things that leaders have to do to shepherd their church. There's probably not a pastor that exists that wants to shut their doors or make and require people to do anything. It just kind of goes against who we are. But as part of loving us and caring for the whole body, there are hard decisions that have to be made. So let me read this again. Let me challenge us to strive to support our leaders by following their lead. Are we always going to be right? Absolutely not. We're going to make some mistakes along the way. Come to us privately, encourage us, challenge us when appropriately. Don't make it turn into gossip, but come to the person that can actually change the situation. But look at what this verse says. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. And then he goes on, and I think it's he, Apollos here, says, pray for us, for our conscience is clear, and we want to live honorably in everything we do. Brings it back to prayer. Pray for us. Yeah, we're making hard decisions. Yeah, we are have this accountability factor to God with how we lead his church. And it weighs on us sometimes. So pray for us that we would do it well and do it for God's glory. And pray this too, that we would never do it alone. God is there for us and we have you. You know, my 75-hour week, that should not happen for a long time because there's a whole church that I should be calling upon to help. And so I apologize for doing more than I should sometimes. And eventually we'll find our groove and we'll figure out the best way to move forward together. But pray for your leaders. And so let me summarize this. It's already up there for you. So here's a summary of ways that you can support your leaders. This is not an exhaustive list, but I think if we do these things well, we're going to be a healthy church, and God's going to work in really cool ways. Pray specifically and consistently for our leaders. Give cheerfully. Give cheerfully of not just your treasure, that's part of it, but give of your time, your talent, and your spiritual gifts as well. Refuse gossip. Refuse both to spread it and refuse to listen to it. And lovingly and privately correct. When a leader is in the wrong and you see it, go to them. Challenge them. Give them the opportunity to make it right and to repent. And if they don't, Jesus has given us the next steps, and Paul jumps to it. Sometimes bringing it before the whole church is the step that has to be taken. We'll be a church that follows God's truth even in those hard times because that's what God has given us to do. And lastly, follow the leader's lead. And you know, I should have put number six, pray specifically again, because never stop lifting your leaders in prayer. And I was not kidding. At this stage in our church, the majority of you in this room are our leaders. And you are fulfilling a very needed role within this church family. And so this is something that should be happening around this room. This is not just Pastor Bill. This is all of us together leading Christ's church for his glory. I love the way that this particular book ends. There's a benediction at the end that I want to read for us as we close our time together today as well. So this is Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. I'll close with this, and then I'll pray, and the worship team can come up, and we'll close with one more worship song together. But go ahead and stand for the reading of God's word here for a moment, and as Victor had us do a few moments ago, close your eyes and listen to this truth. Let it penetrate your hearts. I love the way that this author closes out this book. It's powerful. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Father God, we stand before you now, and we claim that truth. We're grateful, Lord, that you speak to us through your word. And I ask on the behalf of this church family, Lord, that you would equip us with everything we need to do your will. Help us, Lord, never to strive to do it on our own or to rely on our own strength, but to realize that we're in this together. We're a team. And you have placed the people in this church to work as a body, to engage with their gifts. And so just guide us in that, Lord. Help us to represent you well as a church family as we strive to begin to reach into the Madera communities and share the hope of Jesus with people who don't yet have a relationship with you, Lord. Let them see in us, in the way that we love one another, what a church looks like, the way that we use our gifts to perfectly fit together to make your body. Pray, God, that we would do this with you in mind, that we would not do it alone, that we would allow you to give us the strength to do it. And as this particular benediction closes, Lord, we ask that as we do these things, as we do it, that it would please you and it would bring you glory. Father, help us to live out the things we've been challenged with your truth from today, Lord, the things that my friend Bill Allison brought to me that you reminded me of. Help us to pray for our leaders. Father, help us to give cheerfully. Help us to refuse gossip. Father God, I ask that you would enable us support the leaders that you've placed before us. Lord, that we would choose to not make it about ourselves, but that we would willingly and privately, lovingly go to those who are in sin. That you would allow us to have those awkward, hard conversations so that you could be glorified, so that our brother or sister could get back on the right path again. And Lord, lastly, I pray that you would help us to support those that you've placed to oversee us and to care for us. Let us be an encouragement to them through how we treat them and how we pray for them. Father, we want to commit all this to you. We thank you for the opportunity to gather as your church, and we commit the Christmas Eve service again into your hands, that both here at Ephraim Green Valley on the 24th and then for Madera Church on the 23rd, that it would be a time for your church family to celebrate you, but also for those that don't yet know you to maybe hear about you for the first time. So work in hearts. Father, be with families who are going to be celebrating Thanksgiving this week, some via Zoom and in different ways, and some that are gathering. I ask your protection over our church family. Watch over them, Lord. Help us to be a light as we maybe even witness to some family and friends that may not know you. Help us to continue to be your church beyond Sunday afternoon throughout the week. Lord, bind our hearts together as we sing to you now. We commit this last song into your hands. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.